Welcome back to another episode of the Halfcast Podcast. Thanks for coming on today. We got Big Luke Jackson. He's born in Tassie, professional boxer with 8 knockouts, current WBA, Oceania, WBO, Oriental and Australian featherweight title holder, former Commonwealth Games, team captain and Olympian. Luke, how are you?
All good, brother. How are you, my man? Thanks for having
me. Very good. Thanks for coming on. Was that right with your resume? There was a bit of discrepancies on Wikipedia, bro.
Brother, you've missed a bit, but it's all good.
We know. Bro, we were looking at your resume. We're impressed. But go, if you can rattle off a couple for us, go for it.
You missed a bit, but look, you got the main one. Olympic captain, so that's the main thing, brother.
100%.
That was the main goal in life, brother. I got it done.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Captain,
yeah,
I'm
awesome
team and
that. Wow.
Yeah.
I accidentally bumped into someone who trained with you. I trained with, and he's followed you for a while. And he was just mentioning how much you've accomplished, considering you started later in life with boxing, which I didn't know. But he said you didn't actually start fighting until a little bit later in your life.
Yeah, I started boxing 18. So,
wow.
I always loved boxing, but, you know, I loved fighting. As a kid, I was fighting all the time. So, it was in me, you know. So, I grew up in a rough area in Tasmania. So, you had to learn how to fight or learn how to run, brother. So we learned how to fight. So.
Rough area in Tassie. I was going to ask you, you're born in Tassie. It's the only state really I've never been to. I just think it's like one big country town. Is it really like, so there is like cities
So it'll surprise you, but there's a lot happening down there. You know, I left Tasmania, obviously, when I was trying to make the Olympics. I lived in Canberra for 5 years, and on and off in Sydney. Through my professional career, training with Billy Hussein and that. So up and down, I did do a lot of travelling around the world as well, but I pretty much spent my whole life there. And then at the age of, 34, I just fucking sold everything and left. I don't know. Like,
oh, wow.
I just wanted to change and just up and left and moved to Sydney, brother. So it's a lot going on there, but it's definitely – Sydney for me is where it's at the minute.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of the reason, like we're a big part of the podcast is like we try to get a lot of guys that have come from bad areas that have made themselves successes. Do you attribute that a lot of that hardness that you got into how you are as a person, as a boxer?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, as a kid, I was in and out of care. You know, welfare. Dropped out of school in grade eight, in the drugs a lot as a kid. So I had it quite hard. So, you know, but look, life's not supposed to be easy, is it?
That's it.
Yeah. Obviously with welfare and stuff like going on, but is there not, like you said, there's a lot going on there. Is it quiet towns, like everyone knows everyone sort of thing?
Yeah, brother. So, you know, I couldn't fucking cross the street down there pretty much without, you know, someone stopping me or, you know, I had a lot of issue with the cops down there. They pulled me over all the time in the car, even though I never did nothing wrong, you know, maybe just some of the company I kept. But, you know, I'm a type of guy, if you treat me good, I'll treat you good. It doesn't matter what you do. Or where you come from. So I've got a lot of mates that probably don't see eye to eye with the law. But I'm not going to change who I like and care for because they care for me, you know. So I had a lot of issues down there. So, but it's a great place. At the end of the day, my family's still there and I've got some dear friends there. So hopefully I can get back there soon to see my nan and a few other people that I need to go and see because the borders are shut, you know. They're fucking shut the borders, so we can't get down there.
Yeah, yeah, it's full on, especially now with that second wave they reckon hitting in Melbourne. I think it's, who knows what's going to happen. It's been all up in there, right?
Yeah.
But, and then what was the start to boxing in Tassie?
Yeah, so I started boxing in Tassie. I met a guy that done a bit of boxing and I liked I sort of like the way everyone looked at this guy, and, you know, the aurora that this guy had. I'm like, fuck, I want some of that, you know, like, I just want that. You know, I was a young kid, I just thought it was pretty cool. So anyway, I went to the gym with him, and his father trained him, and the next thing you know, I'm going to the Olympic Games. So it was crazy. It took off really quick for me there. After 13 fights, I was at the Commonwealth Games, winning a medal for Australia. So it took off really quick, fellas. So
that's hectic. So did and you were 13 fights, was that 18, 19?
I was about 20 then, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So did you just, you said you left school in year 8. Was it more of did you have like a rough patch up to you were 18 and you said, look, I'm just going to take this professionally, or do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
No. So in school I was into drugs a lot, marijuana mainly, some acid, fucking out of control, brother. Like, you know, 13 years old on acid, mate, what the fuck's going on? You have to get the plastic bags and spray impulse deodorant in them and suck them up out of this world.
Yeah.
But I'm
just trying to get away, the numbing, mind numbing, getting out of the life.
Brother, I was just trying to escape whatever I was, I don't know, fucking life, I think, but, if ice was around then, fuck me, Dad, I'd probably be dead, brother. So,
man, that's.
But one of my best mates that I hung out with, once I stopped doing weed and I wanted to focus on boxing, he ended up getting killed outside his nan's house where we grew up. His nan used to look after me all the time, and, you know, he got stabbed to death outside his fucking nan's house, you know, over drugs, brother. Wow. So that's where I was heading, brother, you know, that's where I was heading. And thankfully, the sport of boxing fucking has saved my life, without a doubt, you know. So a lot of people
change
say
it. Change a little.
A lot of people say it, but I think they use them words loosely, you know, whereas for me, it definitely did. Everything I have is because of boxing. Everything I have and I own and that I do, and the people I speak to, is all because of boxing, you know. It taught me to go to bed early to, you know, because I've got to get up for training. It taught me to eat well because I've got to lose weight, to make weight. It taught me to be respectful, because if you don't, you get your head punched in, you know, like. It's everything you're supposed to learn from, you know, your parents and that. I learned it from boxing, brother. So.
Yeah. That's a lot of that discipline, right? That that you can only get from certain things, like army, military, boxing, and having also that role model. Like a lot of those old school boxing gyms have those guys that don't take shit.
100%, brother. You know, and I suffer with severe OCD, so. A lot of people think OCD is just cleaning and stuff, but it's a lot more than that, brother. It's fucking very deep. If you go into it, it's deep, and you can have rational thoughts, and you can. I've had a lot of suicide issues, like thoughts about it, even though I don't want to do it, but I've been obsessing about it. I've had issues with drugs, you know, obsessing about it, and thankfully I've had issues with training. Like, I've obsessed about training and made myself fucking train when I didn't want to, and all that sort of stuff. So as bad as it's been with the issue that I've had, but I still take medication for it daily, it's helped me a lot, you know?
I never even knew like that, you know, OCD, for OCD, because my wife has it, and she's like proper clean free. These boys go off at the game because you could hear her come through. It could be an hour, and literally she'll come in vacuum 3-4 times. I'm like, mate, it's done. I don't know what else you're going to get from here. These boys going, well, what is that? I just mute it now. But, like, I never knew there was more to OCD than that. Like, the way you explain it's a huge credit to
where you are. I used to have fucking issues where I used to drive in the car from one light post to the next. I used to close my eyes from one light post to the next to see if I could do it. Like, things about fucking how this world, brother, crazy. You know, thinking about suicide a lot, thinking ways to kill myself, fucking, like, just fucking, and you obsess about it. And then drugs, obviously, I had obsessing, like, drugs, alcohol, you know, fucking, my missus cheating on me.
Oh, you're obsessed about that? Like, once you get a thought, just obsess about that thought, right? Yeah, and figure out find everything to back it up.
I think that's the main thing, especially with mental health and that. I think that was a big trigger for myself. You'd think the way I used to explain it to my psyche, and I'd think about something and then I'd think onto that, and then you think onto that, and it kept coming, and then all the thoughts kept building and building and building of ways around that one thought. And then, you know, it's they kept using the term of overthinking and using, but like there's things that, you know, you get put in a, I guess, in a, how you get think about things, you know what I mean? Like,
Overthinking is almost an understatement, oh. Hey, when you're obsessing over a thought.
That's it, hey? That's crazy. Oh,
fuck, mate. I'm fucking out of control, but like, yeah. You know.
George St. Pierre has the same thing. I don't know if you've ever seen any stuff on George St. Pierre. He has OCD, and it was the same thing with training. He would it was obsessive about it, like each detail, every move, whatever was wrong. So I guess being able to turn that into the positive is that big shift.
100%. Like I used to have it, you know, with the time, you know, training. You know, I'd have to start right on the time. I'd have to do a certain amount of rounds. Running, I'd just have to run a certain distance. If I didn't run that certain distance, I'd have to run more. Fuck, it took a lot out of me, brother. And I used to have 100%. A thing where, like a breathing issue, where I used to try and catch my breath. So I'd go, and if I couldn't catch it, then I'd start stressing about not being able to breathe. And I'm like, fuck, you can breathe. You just trained like for an hour, like. Yeah. But then I'd be sitting down, can't breathe, so I don't get anxiety about it. Then I'd sit in the shower for hours, like fucking just not being able to breathe. I'm like,
did that ever affect your preparation going into fights and all that kind of stuff? Because that, you know, thinking about that kind of stuff, I can relate to that in footy terms. Because if you're not on time and things, and you start stressing, start panic kind of mode comes in. Did it ever you know what I'm talking about?
Of course, brother. So. For the 2008 Olympics, I was red hot favourite to make it. I've beaten the guy 3 times easily.
Yeah.
And for the 4th fight, I was in Samoa for the Oceanas, and I couldn't sleep, brother. And then I started overthinking about not sleeping.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep. I reckon I slept 7 hours in 10 days. I was out of control. And I won first 2 fights, and I lost to Paul Fleming in the final. And I've beaten Paul 3 times. I lost by 2 points. And I didn't make the Olympics. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, it just cost me. And that was before, look at my dog, fucking hell. I knew I had to get help, because that was before I found out what was going on. So I had to wait another 4 years to make the Olympics, so it was fucking out of control.
Wow. Yeah, man. There's a book with winning in mind, and he talks about that. He was an Olympic shooter, and he was just like, how many Olympians, like, because they're not competing, you know, the Olympics are obviously every 4 years, so that time period's only in every 4 years, so people find it hard to train for that moment. So when that time comes, they're just not mentally prepared, or they'd go through like you said, that insomnia and things like that. So
100%. So, I done it, like, because I fucking couldn't sleep. So 4 years later, I rehearsed how it was going to go. So my girlfriend at the time, I flew up to Canberra, because that's where the trials were. I slept in a certain room, had all this, you know, the same room, the same everything, the same spa, like sparred, and then slept. And then when it come time for the Olympic trials, I went to book the room, and they said it was taken. I'm like,
wow.
I said, I need that fucking room. Like, no, take it. I said, I need that fucking room. You did no idea. Anyway, I ended up getting the room and end up qualifying. So it was a good fucking great memories.
Mad. Like,
great memories.
And that's what the book actually talks about. It's mental rehearsal. It's playing over in your mind, so there's like no surprises. You think about all the outcomes. But was that a hotel, did you say you stayed in?
No, that was at the RAS. They had like Australian Student Sport.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They had bigger rooms that you could have if you had family or someone come over. And I said, I want that fucking room. So.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking fucking room. I have no idea. Shit is going to go down if I don't get this room. What the fuck?
That would have just gone in your head, eh? He's going to fight everyone in the. He's going to have 3 fights before the fight.
I get the room, and I end up having 3 fights. And I beat a guy from New Zealand in the final, Chad Milnes, and fucking qualified for the Olympics. I'm like, fuck, is it happening? The next day, the next day, I went to the fucking zoo, right? went to the zoo and I seen all these little animals and I'm like, fuck, I'm Olympian, I'm here seeing these little fucking animals, I'm just so happy, you know, like the best day of my life.
I was gonna ask, like, how did it feel after, you know, you did you knock him out in that thing or did it go to like results? And when you put that hand with your hand up in the air and said you won, that, you know, you find out you're going to Olympics.
That's relief.
You can't even put a fucking feeling on that. Like, I knew the score going into the last round, so I knew if this guy didn't knock me out, I was winning him, and it just made me fight better. And I just kept fighting, and so when the bell went, I knew that I'd won the fight, and I'm just like, fucking yes, motherfucker, like yes. I remember looking out at my dad. My dad was in the crowd. I remember like pointing at him, like, looking at him, going, like, you know the shit I've been through to fucking get here, you know?
Yeah.
So. And was it only the fights on the day? Or how many was the qualifier? Was it 2 days, 1 day?
Opportunity. It was three days. I had to have three fights.
Oh, sweet. Oh, all right. That's not too bad. Was man, that's full
not
on.
Not too bad. And three fights like, in 3 days. Fuck me, Dan. That's like back-to-back.
Oh, no, but some of these guys have
and you have to make... You got to make weight every day too, so you finish.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
Oh, can't.
Then you got to go cut weight. It's fucked.
Yeah. Some of these. Yeah, yeah, man. These
What's the weight for your fight class?
That one was a lightweight. That one was lightweight. So 60 kilos. Holy but God. Yeah.
Fucking so bad. Can't wait to be like lower than that. Like lower. Could you make 80 kilos? 60. If I said, "All right, you got 6 weeks to us to make 80 kilos," could you do it?
No.
I'd have to cut my legs off. Yeah.
There's no way, guys.
I'll be talking about
have to go. I'd be disabled and straight to, like, I'll be cut off of the legs. That's it. But I was going to ask you about that, Andrew, because you mentioned this. Bro, I bet you had a good night's sleep after that one. I hope so. I was going to ask you, Andrew, as well, if you've had that, because they said like you don't get REM sleep when we're in hotel rooms because it's not your bed. Yeah. Like your brain is instilling like this survival mode sort of thing.
In footy, last year we had these Aura rings and it's crazy because I've seen one of the basketballs put it on and it's crazy because it tells you your REM sleep and all that kind of stuff. And for me, like I struggle with sleep. Sleep is so bad because I'm one of those overthinkers and, you know, especially at night, the REM sleep wasn't again when you're on maybe 2 hours for me.
Like, does it measure your PS5 time or PS4? PS4 time?
not me. See, but I'm pretty dominant like that. Like, I know I'll get to a certain point. So if I've got training the next day, I'm out. Like, if you won't see me past 9:30, I have to be in bed by then. If I've got tomorrow, I've got a day off, mate, I'm enjoying my time. I'm away from footy, it's away from work. But the REM sleep for me, I can hardly get it. I don't know what it is. It's just because I'm overthinking. I'm waking up. But then I read something. There's a 90-minute cycle. And I really buy into this because I never believed in it. And they said, I learned it in my last course I did. So every 90 minutes, if you sleep for an hour and a half, you have the best sleep. So if you get woken up, say if you had an hour and a half, but you slept for an extra half hour for that, it's the worst. You wake up so bad.
Yeah.
So.
Just take a couple of Zannies, brother.
Well, even with them, you don't get a REM sleep. You're just knocked out. That's called blackout.
I took a Zanny one night. I was out for 15 hours. Gone.
No, I'm telling you now. I've been awake
for about 3 days before. And so,
man. I had one night on a flight to Dubai, and I woke up in Dubai.
First time.
14 hours. I'm like, I made it. That's quite on. It's been a minute.
Fucking fella, planes are fucking. I hate the fucking.
Oh, I can't stand it.
How hard is it to fucking sit on a plane?
Brother, what are you talking about? It'd be in first class in economy for you.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm not here.
Okay, see, that's why these are saying two trips.
Oh, bro, no.
The but, I'm in the
don't worry. I'm right there with you. But I don't know, like, with bro, we're talking, like, Andrew, how tall are you? I'm sure you're getting your knees hit
like this,
on the back of the seat
like
as well.
Yeah. Wait, you know when those guys in front want to put their chair back knowing you're a big person?
Yeah.
Mate, I put my knees up in their thing so they start pushing it. And you're like, nah, fuck this guy, I'll tell you.
Yeah. They don't give a fuck.
Oh, no. No, just slap the fucking cunt around the head. Thank
you. what's going on at the moment, man? Like, so we're doing pretty much like a mental toughness month. Like, we're off the back of the mental health week, and like a big thing that I saw that you've been doing is a lot of the challenges. I saw like the 4, was it 5, 5, 5, and the 6. You explain it. You got it.
So David Goggins has a stay hard challenge, 4, 4, 48.
Yeah.
4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours, and I did this and smashed it. And then I was actually talking to him on Instagram. He's a pretty easygoing guy, and he's like, you know. I'm trying to.
Man, he's like my spirit animal. I love him, man. You've obviously read his book and listened to I've listened to like everything. Read his book. His bro is amazing, amazing human.
I've only read 2 books my whole life, so his isn't one of them.
I can't read a book. Have you at least
listened to the audio book?
Fuck, mate. I fucking pick up a book, I fucking lose. I read the fucking page. I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
My head. I'm so the same. The only book I've read is Where's Wally, and that's probably Facebook. That's the only book you're gonna get me out of.
But
I don't know what I'm like, you just read that starting.
I've read Costa Zoo's book.
Mad.
And what else did I read? I read Born or Bred. It's Martin Bryant. It's like a He's like a serial killer.
Oh, diverse.
Yeah.
Now you've chucked up a portrait of yourself, bro. You're taking a shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a photo of you boys. Where are we? Oh. Here we go. Give us a fucking smile.
Just do the screenshot, eh?
Give us a smile, boys. There we go, the fucking boys, mate. How we look?
Hectic.
We fucking look $1 million. Have a look at us. So I've read Martin Bryant, serial killer book. Fuck, this guy from Tasmania, he killed. That's why.
Oh, he's the reason why the gun laws, right?
Yeah, so.
That's why I've heard his name.
I read that book, and I read Costa Zoo's book when I was starting boxing, and that's and that's that.
I think you'd be more interested in that book because, like, it's in your home, like, your hometown.
Yeah,
you're
and I'm just
reading to it and find out.
Yeah, I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with this gun? You know? So.
How did we get here? So, anyways, your challenges.
How the fuck did we get here?
Oh, fuck.
Anyway. I done this run challenge, right? Then my housemate's a fucking sniper from the UK. He's a sniper in Afghanistan. So
hilarious, but I watched the videos when he came limping and he was walking, obviously he toughed it out, but he was hurting, eh?
He's a fucking good guy, mate. I met him at a house party. I was in a room at a casino one night, fucking for one day.
He's still at the house party, you haven't slept.
What do you do? I'm a boss, what do you do? I just snipe cunts.
I said, we have a bit of banter here and now. I said, I bash cunts for a living. He goes, yeah, I'll kill cunts. I'm like, fuck you.
You got me. What? I'm out. I'm sick.
But yeah, we done the challenge together, mate. It's probably the best weekend I've had, mate. Like, and not one alcohol, not one bit of alcohol, not one bit of drugs were involved. And I haven't laughed that much in fucking so long. We ran 5 miles every 5 hours for 75 hours. And we raised $15,000 for suicide prevention, which we donated. Donated to Livin', which is a good mate of mine, Dwayne Lally, that passed away by suicide. So Yeah, it was good, brother, because by helping, when I can help others, I'm helping myself at the same time. So, you know,
100%.
I just come out of a fucking dark place last year. For 4 months, I was fucking on the drink and whatnot, out of control, brother. Self-destruction. You know, a lot of people when they kill themselves, they just do it. But some other people, they just drink and do drugs and whatever and slowly try to fucking kill themselves. And that's what I was fucking, now looking back on it, now the clear mind, obviously that's what I was trying to do. I was lost the plot by it.
Yeah, man.
So when I can help others, I'm helping myself at the same time. And it was so good, but it was the best. It was unbelievable. It was just when COVID was on, and it gave me some purpose to do because my fight got cancelled. And, you know, life was when I'm like that, I go into this little bubble where nothing else matters, brother, and I focus on whatever I set my mind to. And that was the run. And just focusing on something can. Fuck, it's a good feeling, but I love living in that
tunnel vision. Yeah. It's the same as like, vision, same idea behind a fight, right?
100%.
It's because I feel you, man. When I'm like, I've been off engine for a long time now, and you get to the, bro, it's like peaks and valleys, right? Like it's four surgeries and like not having that goal. And so I don't know what you're like when you were going through that dark place. Was it because you didn't have fights going on, nothing planned, like everything's left out in the open, left to your own accord?
Yeah, I had a bad breakup with a girl, and then, you know, I had a few other issues, and yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it, fucking up. And like, you know, my advice to anyone that's going through some shit, stay off the drink, brother, because that just makes it worse. Stay off the drink, get exercising, start training. You know, you shouldn't ever, if you're in a bad headspace, do not drink, brother. Don't drink.
I said all the time, then it was it was like a thing on Facebook raising awareness. And I remember talking to Tyson before this jumped on, raising awareness for men's mental health. And they were doing a shot, a schooner,
and drinking beer.
Like, it's, mate, alcohol is one of the biggest killers in men's health. Like, it's, do that? Exactly. Just don't, if you're going to donate or trying to, like, thing. Show your generosity and donate to a cause. Like, it's easy as that, even if you donated. Like, it's fucking huge.
It's fucking stupid, brother. People, if you're in a bad headspace, do not drink, brother, because drinking leads to drugs. Drugs, you know, leads to you can't sleep, then you're fucking taking Xannies, and, you know, before you know it, you're fucking dead.
Yeah.
You're fucking dead, brother, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing some shit. That's jumping off.
It's like exponential both ways, eh? It's like if you do something bad, then it's not linear. It doesn't go slowly. It's like once it goes bad, it's like fucking worse, and you're hell before you know it. But that's the same when it's going the other way as well. It's exponential. It's like something good happens, then this many opportunities happen, then that many. It's just...
Well, like I say, mate, you know, better days are coming, brother. Like, I live by this thing. If I'm having a bad day, brother, I just get through the fucking day. If I can't see myself getting through the day, I get through the hour, and by hour, things can turn around, brother. And you know, you can get yourself out of a fucking dark place. And I've done it many times.
100%.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It absolutely breaks my heart that people get so loaded they can't see a way out. And trust me, brother, I've been there, but I've found a way out. You know, 100%. A lot of the time, these two little dogs, mate. This is Inca, and this is Chevy. Yeah, look at these fuckers, mate. I've had them for 10, 11 years, but these dogs have saved my life. Fire. Honest, brother, you know, like when I've been in fucking bad places, you know, sometimes you just need something or someone, but then these dogs are, you know, how good is dogs?
I feel you, bro, but just as I was going through my injuries, my dog died as well.
Oh, no.
Because it was a quick downhill for me. I'm trying to, all I know how to do is laugh about it, lad. It was a sad time, but I can laugh about it now.
I know, you're saying, but the way you said it, you're like, as I was going through it, my dog died and he's just done. I was a fucking cuss.
Because all I know how to do, I can laugh about everything afterwards. But when I was laughing when it happened.
Oh, man.
Hey, you laugh when you cry, brother.
That's it.
100%.
But I get where you're coming from, even especially the way I live my life now. Every negative you can always find three positives out of that negative, no matter how bad it is. And I think that's most of the best thing I ever took out of the rehab and everything is to preach on, like, you know, they could throw a negative at me, but I'll figure out three positive things that come out of it. Or it could even not even happen, just saying, but like, fuck, it could send me in another direction where a positive will come out of it. Like, fuck, if it wasn't for that negative, bring me in this positive. And that's the way I live life by, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things. I can't preach on men's mental health enough where, you know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood and I wish in school, even today, I don't even know if there's anything in schools that, you know, that show these things. I never learned about it in school when I was a kid, but I wish I did.
Even how you were saying, man, just go out and train, don't drink. That's my biggest thing. It was like, anytime I had a bad day or anytime I'm going through anything rough or anytime my friends are gone, I was like, bro, I don't care what your problem is, what your drama is, I'm coming to pick you up and we're training at 4:30 in the morning. Yeah. I was like, that's all, because that's all I know. I'm not a psychologist, but I know I feel better after I train. So I'll come pick you up, I'll take you to training.
You win the morning. That's it. You do the money, bro. You feel good. You always feel good.
Training, it's the natural endorphins, brother.
That's
natural
it, 100%.
Let's get it.
And it, I think even teaching that in schools, like when they're coming through. But who are we? They're not. They're probably not going to listen to two fighters.
This guy's laughing. He's like,
yeah.
All I see was this guy, Tyus. I swear to God, you're like this. You're sitting there.
I was saying that it would be good if they taught that in schools, and I was like, well, they're probably not going to listen to two boxers and an NRL player what they should be teaching in schools.
Yeah. That's just straight facts.
Especially someone that didn't fucking stay in school.
I don't think any of us finished school, so they're going to go, nah, gee.
I'm not going to lie. But like, my school, my old school, I got expelled from there, but they're trying to claim me still. Yeah, he come here.
I didn't turn up to any class. But now they want us to come back and do, they want us to come back and do a speech and tell us how to fucking
100%. When they had me back there doing fucking, I was like a fucking mentor walking around the school trying to tell kids what to do. I'm like, man, fuck you, me?
You want to do well in life? Do everything I didn't do.
Yes, exactly. What I did, don't do it.
They're life lessons.
Everything I did, don't do it. They think that there's, this is not trying to sound like a fucking hero or anything, but. You know, I don't think a lot of people could do what I fucking did, mate, coming from the circumstances I come from. So I'm not going to recommend they do that.
Yeah.
That it's, what you should do. And same coming from you, people couldn't live your life and do what you've done. You know, like, everything is an individual, brother, you know?
Just and this is lessons, the problem. Bro, and this is what you've been.
And that's why I think it's. Yeah. And that's why I think it's like. So why I've been trying to, like. Hounding this point of the reason why I wouldn't even call it successful, but the reason why we've gotten to or like even accomplished what we've done is because of all of those that bullshit that we went through.
Yo,
100%.
It's like those hard 100%. Lessons. Like in that and even OCD, like with how bad it was, the reason why you're such a good boxer, right, is because of that. It's like that bad thing, you turn that into a positive.
Yeah, it turns into preparation, to be honest. Like, the little things he's saying, like, everything's got to be spot on. Mate, that's a big positive. You could see it. Like, it's a prep. Like, no one else would do everything to a T the way he does it.
Well, they can't,
but
you know, this is.
tell him, who's next, man? Who's next, man?
What's up? What's coming up? What's coming up, man? What's on the? What's on the agenda?
I'm fucking. I just want to fight, brother. To be honest with you, I just want to fight. So whenever they can allow us to get back in the ring, brother. To be honest, Hopefully September, you know, but fuck.
Yeah. Did you have something lined up before COVID?
Yeah, I had one April 24, but then that got cancelled, so.
Yeah.
Not good.
Who are you fighting? What
I don't know.
What's the plan?
It was still early to get an opponent. I just knew that date, and then it got locked away, so fuck.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I make another run?
feel like they need to make it, you know, I feel like with, how do you feel about like NRL players and all that coming out the box and they're kind of overshadowing, it feels like for me, it's overshadowing Australian boxing. Like there's so many guys who live by boxing, drive by boxing. So say if I said, oh, I'm going to have a fight, they're making this big ass deal, then you've got actual professional fighters who are trying to make it in the world. How do you feel like when it comes to all that kind of stuff?
I don't listen. I just think, fuck, everyone's got what they fucking deserve, you know? Like, you work hard. If these guys want to fight, brother, let them fucking fight. If they're good enough to get in there and do it. And, brother, it's not their fault. The media fucking do everything.
Yeah,
brother, let these guys do what they want, brother.
You got to make your paycheck, eh?
100%.
Fucking oath, brother. I just want, fuck, mate, I'm not a hater, but I like to see everyone win, you know? Like, fuck, if I can make some money, you can make some money. If I make money, let's all do it together, whatever. You know, these platforms like Barry Hall and, you know, Gallen and all that, they give the fighters a big platform to fight on. So, you know, the undercard, you know, like, my mate Andrew Maloney fought and won a world title on the undercard in Melbourne, so, you know, on this show, so... Well, headline.
Gallen did say that because I think Zoo fought on his undercard, and he was like, "Man, you get they. Hopefully, that builds it up. They get the platform, and then he'll have his own fight. And now look what's happened. He's fighting Horn.
Exactly. You know, it's all positive from all way. I think everything. You can't be thinking
that's a big fight. They've gone to Townsville for that. I heard they just locked in Townsville Stadium.
Yeah, I fought there. I won the Australian title in Townsville. Good place.
Nice.
Good people.
Yeah, good.
Full on
hot. Welcome hot up there.
100%.
Very hot.
And then you have your motto, bro, like the let's fucking go. I've been seeing a lot, which is pretty much let's fucking go, eh?
Let's fucking go, boys. send me your address and I'll send you a couple of t-shirts.
100%. Appreciate it, bro.
I might get in trouble for wearing that, but I'll fucking embrace it. I love that shit. Oh, man, I'd still wear it. I don't give a fuck.
it's FKN, so you can't get in trouble.
Oh,
FKN.
Beautiful. I'll use that one. Fucking shit off.
Nah, let's fucking go, man.
How
good.
We were looking on Wikipedia as well because we couldn't get a... locked in record, bro. It's got like 55 professional fights, 88 amateur fights, and then it said 19 professional fights.
Yeah.
Can you lock that in for us?
113 amateur fights.
Yo. Fuck me.
And 20 professional.
So when you're amateur, how many fights a year would you fight? Like, fuck, when I hear 100 and something fights, that's a lot of fucking fights.
A lot of fights, bro. 80 of them were international, you know, against guys overseas. Hard fuckers, too.
Fire up.
Hard fuckers.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing in Australia. It's a lot harder to get those numbers up, eh? When you see some of those Cubans and shit, like 300 and something. But a lot of Aussies don't have that many international fights as well, right?
100%. But I spent a lot of time in there, brother. So in Cuba. So.
What's up? Oh, really?
I spent 2 months in Cuba. Training
or just fighting?
Training and fighting.
Training?
I heard that.
How was that? Because it's a different kind of style, right?
Yeah, but it's fucking mad. The punch is fucking.
Just hard, bro. Hey, it's fighting for different reasons.
They got balls of steel and they can box, brother. So, you know, a lot of boxers, they're a little bit timid, you know, they box and move, but these guys can fight, brother. They're fighting.
Why don't they go for so long? Like, some of them have got like 200 plus, 300 plus fights. Why don't they go pro? Do you know any reason why?
Oh, communist country, brother. So Fidel Castro wouldn't let them. If they went pro, they couldn't come back to the country. So they had to, you know, they had to boycott the country.
Fuck. And then it became like their national thing, right? And like to get the gold medal or something. Now you're the man.
Yeah, that's it.
And they're sorted, right? Once they medal, like in their country.
No way, brother. Brother, these guys have won a fucking gold medal at the Olympics. He was there fucking serving us food. Old man fucking serving us food at the dining hall. Fucking mess, brother.
No way.
Bad.
Oh, fire out.
Bad bowler. Felix Savon. Felix Savon there. He's actually gay, Felix Savon.
Well,
three-time Olympic heavyweight champion, he's gay, brother, which is nothing wrong with that. But over there,
was it a problem?
Oh, look, I think it was a bit of an issue, but fuck, I wasn't going to tell him.
Would you want to tell him? Fuck that. That's our weight class here. I'm not saying.
Anyways, this is my boyfriend.
Oh, man, I hate to be in a relationship with him. I would even say Pete. I'll just,
I'd just say, fucking good looking bloke. Good looking bloke you are, mate.
Nothing. Everything is just
fucking beautiful bloke, mate. You are a beautiful bloke. Fucking beautiful.
Man, I've always been intrigued with like the Olympic side of it. Like I don't really know how the Australian boxing was, but like I went down to look at the AIS, and I was like always like I just like that sort of the martial arts, the training, the full regime, man. For 4 years, you just everything's down, like, and they've been doing it for years. Everything's perfected now. Well, it's like getting to the science. So just very interested. Did you live there for months? What's the camps like? Like some, I know some of the gymnasts, those kids just live there. The parents live there, right?
Yeah, so I lived there for 5 years on and off.
Far out.
And you got everything, Bella. But, you know, I sent myself a little bit crazy because I used to sit in the room and just think about boxing and that's it, you know, which was good. But I never had an outlet to forget about the boxing, you know, on the days off and that. Mm-hmm. I'd fucking pretty much drove myself crazy, brother. So, but it's good, you know. They've got all the sports science, but it's like anything, brother. At the time, you don't appreciate it because you're young.
Yep.
You fucking think you got fucking the rest of your life to do this and that, and then you get to my age now, and you think, fuck, I actually had it really good then. Like all this shit. You know, like,
I wouldn't mind some of those free meals, free training and everything.
Cafe there, I'm telling you.
Now I've got to pay the rent, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to find the trainer.
What the fuck is going on? Grow up, they said. What a trap.
What were some of the, like, are there any hardest fights that you remember, like a person that you just go, man, that one took some years off the life?
Yeah, so I fought a guy, Ivan Berichek. He's a Belarus guy. So I fought him in Belarus, in the hometown, in the final. And I woke up that day in the fight. I had four fights, and this was the fifth one in the final. I woke up that day, and I had a really sore throat. I couldn't even swallow. I was that sick. I went into this fight, and I got hit in the fucking... I reckon, you know, when you get hit that hard, you get flashes. I thought it's the first time in my career that I've actually thought, fuck, I'm gonna get knocked out of here. Like, it was fucking it was bad, but I end up losing by only 2 points in the end, but because I come back strong. But fuck, mate, that fight, it took about 10 years off my life, I reckon.
I'm pretty sure my mom with Latifi took a couple off me.
I went and took the fucking picture of myself in the mirror after the fight going, what the fuck? That was my last fight.
Whole face?
Yeah, just fuck. Before the Olympics, I'm thinking, fucking hell, let's get this shit done and bail. And here I am, fucking 10 years later, still going.
any fractures or anything in the face from it?
No, my fight against Carl Frederick for the world title, I had two bursted eardrums and a fucking fucked up nose. That's what
I was talking about with Latifi. That's why like I felt like, because I got punched in the ear so many times, I got like that vertigo. So for like 2 weeks, I couldn't stand up. I just kept falling over.
Did you get
that from the eardrum?
No, I get that when I forgot. When I forget to take my medicine, my antidepressants. So if I forget to take them, I get real bad vertigo. I go like that, and I go, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah, straight over, eh? It wasn't good. We just got the fight coming up. Is there, before we head off, I'll let you go, but is there anything, messages that you wanted to pass on to any kids coming up? I know boxers.
Well, you know, anybody
to come up.
Look, just the main thing, if anyone at any age of life, brother, you have to believe in yourself. You know, there's so many people that don't believe in you. I had it growing up. You know, my mum, my dad, but you got to believe in yourself. And if you really want something, you can get it. Like, you know, I'm a little kid from Clarendon in Tasmania. Got dropped out of school, in and out of welfare, drug addiction, you know, mates killed, mates in jail. And I had a vision to make the Olympic Games, and I fucking put everything into it, and I made it happen. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. But it's not easy. You got to fucking, you got to really grind. You're going to have ups and downs, and you just got to keep going, you know. Like, if I could tell myself something as a young kid, I'd say, you know, keep going. Let's fucking go. Just keep going forward, you know, and don't give up. Never give up. So that's it, man. You just got to, if you want something bad enough, you'll get it done. As simple as that.
Yeah. That's a mad message.
Well worth it.
Just non-stop persistence and consistency, right?
Let's keep going, brother. The key to success is consistency.
Yeah. Gets lost it. All right, so I've got a couple of questions for you before we let you go. What do you want your legacy to be?
A guy that worked his ass off and fucking just a good guy, mate. Honest guy, good guy, and a real guy, you know? No bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking
mad, love that. Any hobbies outside of fighting?
I love hanging out with good friends, going out for dinner. I love food, and my dog.
This sounds like a Tinder profile.
Man, let's go, baby. Hit me up.
Any girls in your comments before? Hit me up on.
Snapchat, Luke Jackson. Instagram, Luke Jackson. Twitter, Luke Jackson.
Tinder profile. One anything.
I've got a cute dog. That one works. You want to see the dog? You like dogs? You girls like dogs, huh? That's worked a few times.
Do the dinner one twice.
That's cool. The last question is, five people that you'd like to have dinner with are dead or alive?
I really want
five
to see
people.
You. Five people, dead or alive.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, so... Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor,
that's right.
My nan, my dad, and probably some hot bird. Who's a hot bird?
Yes, yeah. I told you, you always got one girl, man. I've said
we need a girl.
Yeah, 100%.
We need a girl. Who's a good girl? Give me. Who's the top of the range at the minute?
Man, single life? Oh, it depends.
I don't know.
Well, I think probably... Riley Reid.
I told you, who have a bird, like they're always, so you're going to have at least one girl. At a new fight, it's going to be at least one girl.
Yeah,
All right, thanks, Luca. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation. Thanks for coming on, man.
Boys, give us a fist up. I'll take a picture. Give us a fist up.
Oh, look at his fist up, Andrew.
Look at this one. That's a box. Who are you got?
Any sponsors? Any sponsors or anything you want to shout out before we go?
Everlast, exclusive, Powerbox, Jeter. These guys, fucking look at the Jeter.
Yeah, the boys.
I might take a photo of that, actually. Right. There we go. G'd up, baby. G'd up.
Cheers, brother. Yeah,
guys, thanks for your time, man. God bless you.
Yeah, nah. Nice to meet you,
brother.
Fast.
Really
nice
appreciate it. Cheers, take care, brother.
God bless you, guys. Yeah, if you're ever in Sydney, hit me up.
Yo, appreciate it, brother. See you later.